Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
So, over the weekend, Iran launched a major strike against Israel, sending over 300 drones and missiles against Israel. However, about 99% of them were shot down. Dr. Patrick Bury is our first guest, Senior Lecturer in Security at the University of Bath. Can you explain, please, Patrick, how it is that Israel was able to stop these various drones from missiles from operating to deadly effect?
I can, Matt. Good afternoon. Essentially, the Iranians have what they fired at the Israelis are the relatively slow-moving, low warhead drones, the Shaheds, which are doing about 115 miles an hour. Cruise missiles, maybe around 500 miles an hour, a bit higher. And then the ballistic missiles, which can work, obviously go out of the atmosphere, move much faster and can work off different trajectories depending on their actual type of rocket. So that's what's coming at them. And they have to meet that, then they have systems which are like the Ukrainians with the Patriot system that can take out cruise missiles fairly easy and some ballistics. They have the Arrow 2 and 3 system, which takes out ballistic missiles. They have the famous Iron Dome, which is sort of shorter range, but useful against numerous different targets, including drones and cruise missiles. And they have the Air Force, which was there to shoot down the drones and cruise missiles if they could. And they were supported in that by the US Air Force, the UK Air Force, some French jets and some Jordanians. So a multi-layered attack and a multi-layered defence meet each other. And in this case, the particular ones you'd worry about are the ballistic missiles. Iran fired 120 of them, and it looks like none of them got through.
And would the Iranians have expected that?
No, I think they expected them to get more through. And certainly reading between the lines of what David Cameron said, the UK Foreign Secretary, having spoken to the Foreign Ministry, they expected more to go through. So the interesting thing here is people are, oh, it's just a signal. Well, it's some signal you're sending if you're firing 120 ballistic missiles at another nation state. I think it goes beyond that, and I think they expected it to go beyond that, and it hasn't. So now they look weak.
Okay, Hannah McCarthy is with us as well, who is in Beirut reporting on the Israel-Hamas war. But what is the overall feeling in the Middle East as to what Iran has done? Are other countries in any way supportive of it?
I think in general, countries do not want an increase in the regional conflict. People are already worrying. These are most of the Middle East, countries in the Middle East are fragile economies. They don't have the resources to absorb, full-on war. Lebanon in particularly is already struggling with mass displacement from southern Lebanon. So there's definitely a mood that they do not want this to heat up. At the same time, I think, what has been a theme in the Israel-Hamas conflict is a perception of double standards. And I think there is a feeling in Arab states that, Israel struck, or although it hasn't acknowledged it, at the Iranian consulate in Syria, and that was a provocative attack that demanded a response, and Iran has given it and said that that is the extent that it will respond to.
But can it be believed when it says that, or is it more likely to go again?
Well, I think if we look at over the last 6 months, Iran and its ally Hezbollah have been more restrained than Israel in its responses to Israeli strikes. This is not the attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus was not the first strike at a high level Iranian military target in Syria. Israel has carried out several of these since the start of the war, which are not directly connected with the war in Gaza. Obviously, Hamas and the Assad regime form part of the axis of resistance, the network of allies that Iran has in the Middle East. But certainly there's a sense that Israel is using the war in Gaza as an excuse to take out targets in southern Lebanon that are controlled by Hezbollah that it wouldn't have been able to before the war began, and targeting Iranian military targets in Syria that, again, it also would have been difficult to do before the war.
Dr. Patrick Puri, what's your assessment as to the likelihood of Israel retaliating, given we saw how they've reacted to the Hamas outrage of the 8th of October?
So the default Israeli position, Matt, is usually it's a tough neighbourhood and it has to act tough. And in this particular case, you know, it's had 120 ballistic missiles fired at it. It's the most it's had fired at it by another state in recent memory, at least. And the cabinet is fairly hardline. The politics in Israel is fairly hardline too, as we know. And so it's going to be the confluence of domestic politics and the sort of strategic reasoning that comes in. Apparently, the Israeli cabinet were meeting today, the war cabinet. I'd say they're going through exactly these kind of debates about, okay, how do we judge the intent of the Iranians? What were they trying to do? Rather than what have we managed to fend off? Because that's important if you can understand their intent about calibrating your reaction. And then there will have been a number of options, and probably the most likely, like, this was a surprise. I didn't think the Iranians would do this. I thought they'd do something with the proxies. And your other guest there is correct in terms of some of the relationships are going on. But the big one that's been happening that wasn't mentioned is the Houthis in the Red Sea, obviously acting up, as it were. So Iran has activated numerous proxies, is my point here, and is rattled the cage in numerous places, and is partially responsible for the Hamas attack as well. So,
but Patrick, do you think, given the Iranians have struck back in Gaza, or sorry, the Israelis struck back in Gaza, do you think the Israelis would regard themselves as competent to take a war to Iran, or could they think that even that is too big for them to chew off?
It's really interesting, the strategic calculus that's going on. It's hard to call, Matt, but I think they would fancy their chances. They would have fancied their chances before, because the Iranian military itself, the Al-Quds force is better, but it's very good at proxy warfare, and obviously missiles is one of its strengths, and covert action, etc. The Iranian military itself, in a stand-up fight, it barely has an air force to speak of, so it's heavily reliant on missiles. Its missile defence, I don't think, is top-notch at all. And I think the Israelis would think that they've even got more of an edge than they had now that they've managed to repel what Iran threw at them on Saturday night. They think they have more of an edge and less to lose. And I think in terms of answering your previous question, what are they looking at? One of the options is going to be, do we go after the ballistic missile launching sites inside Iran? Yeah, with our air force, for example. Do we go after the nuclear program and some of the locations there? And that would be, of course, an escalation. And it would move or at least a tit for tat. And it would be moving us much closer to all-out war. The other options, if they decide to wait and bide their time, would be to use cyber attacks, covert action, assassinations, etc., and potentially attacks, as your other guest mentioned, outside of Iran, so in Syria, Iraq, etc.
Hannah McCarthy, what about other countries in the region like Saudi Arabia, which has been developing relationships with Israel? Would they cut those relationships or come to Iran's side? Or could it be that, ironically, they might actually prefer Israel rather than Iran, which has tried to develop itself as a superpower in the region?
Well, I mean, Saudi Arabia definitely does not want an escalation of this conflict, and it had been looking towards obviously normalizing relations with Israel. It doesn't have formal relations with Israel yet, but it was moving in that direction before the October attacks, and there had been a warming in relations between Saudi Arabia and Iran. So again, it's certainly not keen for there to be a conflict that would force it to take sides there. And again, even in terms of Jordan, which was involved in the defense at the weekend, it would be very difficult for Jordan to in any way support an Israeli offensive attack on Iran. Jordan has a significant Palestinian population. It's already dealing with backlash, from the Jordanian public for the fact that its government is continuing to have relations with Israel. And again, Israel would need to use Jordanian airspace and Iraqi airspace in order to attack Iran. So it's an extremely it's not like attacking Gaza at all. It's a very different geography, and the US has already made it clear that it's not going to support an offensive. And I think what some analysts have pointed out is that in the attack at the weekend, Iran forced Israel to reveal its hand. It got a huge amount of intelligence in how it will defend itself from a possible attack. It understands that actually Israel can't defend itself without its allies, the US, the UK, France, and it also forced a huge amount of expenditure. I mean, the estimates range from 500 million up to over $1 billion was spent in defending against that attack. That
and then, has Hannah, consequences. Just to finish, does that mean, though, could we hope that perhaps that this will divert Israel's attention away from continuing to prosecute its war in Gaza?
It's interesting. We've just heard that. Obviously, there have been all these statements that a date has been set for the Rafah operation, but no actual date is ever given. We've heard that there was plans to give evacuation orders in Rafah this week, and they have been put on hold. So it is possible that, you know, Israel could look at Iran as now the focus, and they're not willing to use up either their military resources or political capital on continuing with the Rafah operation, and that they'd rather focus on Iran to the extent that they do strike back.
Thank you very much, Hannah McCarthy from Beirut, and Dr. Patrick Bury.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.